Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I am your host, Danielle Townsend, and honestly, y'all, this episode recording was very unexpected. It's actually evening time right now, and I usually do not sit down and record episodes this late in the evening. It's more of a morning, afternoon thing for me. But as I was reading this new book that I've started, I felt the Lord guide me to what I am supposed to share with y'all tonight. Just to give a little book recommendation, y'all, I have started reading this book called Share Jesus Without Fear by William Fay, and so far it has been wonderful. It's going to be one of my book recommendations. I'm compiling a list of books that have helped me in my walk with Christ, and this is definitely going to be one of them. But I, in reading this, have felt a conviction to share this topic with you today. And it's something that has been coming up in conversations for me the past couple weeks. And that is, you need to love God more. You need to love God more than anything in this world. You need to love Jesus more than anything in this world. You need to love Jesus more than your parents. You need to love Jesus more than your spouse. You need to love Jesus more than your friends. You need to love Jesus more than your coworkers. You need to love Jesus more than your job. You need to love Jesus more than your calling. You need to love Jesus more than your gifts. You need to love Jesus more than money. You need to love Jesus more than attention. What determines our a successful walk as a Christian is just obeying God. You know, that's something that my eyes have really been opened up to recently, is when we go before God one day, the only thing that allows us to go into heaven is being covered in the blood of Jesus, of putting our faith in Jesus. It's not how many people we get to give their lives to Jesus. It's not how many people we impact with our gift. It's not how much money we raise or how much money we donate. It's not all of these good works. We can't stand before God one day and say, I won this many souls for Christ. I got this many people baptized. You know, this many people listened to the podcast. I got this many people to read the Bible. Although those are wonderful things, those are wonderful works, those don't buy our salvation, right? So we can't use those things to determine how successful we are in our walk with Christ. I have started to see success in my walk with Christ as obedience to Christ, saying yes to him. And sometimes the outcome of yes doesn't always look like what we want it to look like, right? Sometimes Christ puts it on our heart to spread the gospel, to say something, to share something, just for the sake of planting a seed. We don't always get to see the transformation. We don't always get to see the big payoff. We don't always get to see that person give their life to Jesus. We don't always get to see that person have that transformation. Sometimes that person rejects us to our face. And just because we're rejected doesn't mean we failed. The success is in obeying the Lord. But in order to get to that point of obeying the Lord, you have to overcome fear, right? You have to overcome the fear of rejection. You have to overcome the fear of loss, of people laughing at you, of things being taken from you. And the only way that you're going to be able to like overcome that is if your love for God is greater. Speaking from experience, as someone who I used to have such a consciousness of people pleasing, of not wanting other people to feel uncomfortable. Like I wanted to just be able to tell people when I was in New Age, before I gave my life to Jesus, I wanted to be able to tell people your truth is your truth. You do what feels right to you. You do what you want to do. I wanted everyone to be happy and feel good. And I thought that that was love. And when I realized that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, the life, and I felt a conviction for that people-pleasing behavior and realized that that people-pleasing behavior was just loving people to hell because I wasn't telling them about their Savior. I felt a conviction of I can't live that way anymore. I can't live in that people-pleasing. I can't do that anymore. But there's a fear that comes with that, right? Because then you start to fear, well, when I start telling people that that way is wrong and that Jesus Christ is the way, how many people am I going to lose? How many people are going to get angry at me? How many people are going to reject me? How many people are going to turn on me? How many people are going to want to hurt me? We know Jesus has warned us that if they persecuted him, they will persecute us. Being persecuted as a Christian isn't a if, it's a when. It's not a possibility. It's something that is expected to happen. We're actually told in the Beatitudes, like, blessed are you when you're persecuted on Jesus's behalf. Blessed are you when you're mocked and you're ridiculed. Like, great is your reward in heaven. Notice how it's great is your reward in heaven. Part of our walk as Christians is the persecution, is the ridicule that comes from the world. And we have to overcome that fear. And I feel like I might be speaking to people today who are working through that fear or who are dealing with that fear or who have allowed that fear to just convince them that evangelizing isn't for them, that creating disciples isn't for them. Someone needs to hear this today, but that was a command for all of us, the Great Commission, all of us are supposed to share testimony, are supposed to share our faith, are supposed to be prepared to defend our confidence in God. God doesn't give us these testimonies and these miracles and these glorious things to keep all to ourselves. He wants us to share them with other people. It is our responsibility as Christians to share, to spread the gospel with other people. It is our role. It is our responsibility. It makes God happy. It makes God happy for us to do it. And we have to stop using the excuse of, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not good with my words. Well, I'm not smart enough. I'm not bold enough. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. The Holy Spirit gives us the boldness. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength. The Holy Spirit gives us the wisdom. God, Jesus gave us the helper, the Holy Spirit, for a reason. So we have to stop giving in to the excuse of, I don't know enough. I don't have the words. I'm not confident enough. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. But he does want us and desires us to obey his call. And if you are fighting with the fear, I want to tell you right now that that fear isn't from God. That fear is from the enemy. Fear is spiritual warfare. And this fear is a spiritual warfare. God has given you a call. God has given you a command, which is to spread the gospel, to go and make disciples. And the enemy's way to combat that is to stop you before you can even start, is to get you too worried about what's going to happen when you open your mouth, is to get you too fearful about what you're going to lose, what feathers are you going to ruffle, getting you fearful that you're not good enough, that you're going to mess up, that's not going to go right, so you don't even try. Look, the enemy is going to try to snuff it out before the ball even gets rolling. And that's what that fear does. And I want to share with y'all from personal experience. I believe this is going to be a shorter episode, but just sharing with y'all from personal experience of how I was able to overcome that. As someone who I dealt with panic disorder, I dealt with raging anxiety and overthinking. Like, y'all, the littlest step I would take, I would overthink it. I went into a period where it was, you know, there's fight, flight, or freeze. Yeah, I was freeze. I was freeze. And I started to feel convicted and recognize that when I'm frozen or when I'm still, sure, I might not be saying anything wrong, but I'm also not saying or doing anything that God can use. I'm not being useful. I became one of those people who was mentioned in the Gospels that was bearing the talents. You know, where the master gave this person like 5 talents, another this many, and the person with the smallest amount went and buried it. When the master came back, he's like, yeah, I'm afraid of you, and I knew, like, you know, you would take from this, so I just buried it. So here's your talent back. And the master was upset. He was like, you could have at least put it in the bank so it could accrue interest. You could have done something with it, but out of fear, you froze, and you did nothing with the gift I have given you. So he took that talent from him and gave it to the people who did something with it. Right? God gives us these testimonies. He gives us these experiences. Jesus gives us these moments with him because he loves us, but also so that way we can share them with other people. I'll tell y'all personally, my best experiences in evangelizing is honestly when I'm able to share my lived testimonies with other people. Like, yes, there are people who I've been able to sit there and just tell them God says this and this is God's word and it resonates with them. But man, I have seen God move in ways that are unexplainable when I'm just sitting there sharing my testimony, when I'm just sitting there talking about how heavy and guilty I felt, and when I repented, the release I felt. When I'm sharing my testimonies of experiencing the love of Jesus in the lowest moments of my life. When I share about miracles and breakthroughs that God delivered in my life. When I share things that one time in my life I would have been fearful to share out of fear that they would be offensive to people, or that things that I thought I should be embarrassed by, all of these things. I have seen God move in ways that like are still mind-blowing to me off of me just sharing what he did. Like these testimonies he's given me are a gift to share, to use, to evangelize. And you, whoever you are listening to this today, there is an experience with Jesus Christ. Pray to him. Pray to God that he opens up your eyes. There are so many people out there who don't believe that they have a testimony. I cannot tell y'all how many people I have talked to.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
That are wonderful followers of Christ, like people who love Jesus. And they hear about my radical transformation. You know, the radical eye-opening and repenting, and God did some crazy radical things in my life. And when they hear that and they look at me and they say, I don't really have a testimony like that. They're like, I grew up in the church and I gave my life to Jesus and I've just followed him. And they're like, I don't really have a crazy testimony like that. And it kind of breaks my heart a little bit when I hear them say that. And I never really knew what to say. Because I knew in the back of my mind, I couldn't put it into words, where it's like, I know you have a testimony somewhere. I know that there is a way that you have experienced Jesus or felt Jesus that would be impactful and point someone to the cross. you know, in all honesty, mine is a little bit easier to spot. You know, my testimony is I was in my car in the desert in California, deep in New Age, and started reading my Bible again and started feeling radical conviction. And as I started listening to that conviction and started repenting, I saw Jesus change my heart, and like he worked miracles and all these crazy, you know, there was a lot of transformational where I guess some of the things are kind of in your face, right? They're hard to miss. And to some people who have just grown up loving God, grown up knowing Jesus, grown up obeying the Lord, maybe not going as out of pocket sideways as I have, when they look at it and they think, oh, there's nothing that I can really say that'll radically shift someone or radically transform someone, maybe there is, and you just don't see it. And here's another thing. Like we said in the beginning of the podcast, Jesus isn't calling us to radically transform people. He isn't calling us to radically shift people. He's calling us to obey him and trust that he's going to do the rest. And I have seen it firsthand. For some people, the most impactful thing wasn't when I was saying that, oh yeah, like, I felt perfectly comfortable in the sin for 20 years, and then all of a sudden I felt this conviction. And when I share the radical moments, there's some people that they love to hear it, but that's not what impacted them. That instead what impacted them was when I tell them about a moment when I was just really sad, really depressed, and felt really weighted. And in that moment, instead of like sitting in my feelings and turning into my feelings, I chose to pick up my Bible and start reading it and start praying to Jesus. And in that moment, I felt a peace that surpassed all understanding. And that's something that could bring some people to tears. And my brothers and sisters in Christ that are raised in the church, when I hear them share about some experiences and I hear them share things like that, I'm like, dude, that's your testimony right there. That's a testimony of the love of Jesus. That's a testimony of a peace that surpasses all understanding. That is a testimony. There are so many people out there right now with hidden testimonies. Like with moments that they have experienced Jesus, that in just sharing that is going to help other people. People don't realize how much their testimonies are ways to glorify God and evangelize. And the devil makes us embarrassed of our testimonies. There are a lot of people with great testimonies that are too embarrassed to share them. One of mine that I was embarrassed to share for the longest time, when I moved out to California and went to start a new life, and at first it was going great. At one point it went sideways and I ended up sleeping in my car. And Jesus delivered me from that. That was what I was doing when I gave my life to Jesus. And for a long time, that was a part of my testimony I'd leave out because I was embarrassed to tell people that my life hit that low of a point. I was embarrassed to tell people my life hit that low of a point. And then Jesus, I felt him knocking on my heart of like, you're leaving out something that's going to impact so many people. I didn't deliver you from that so you could hide it. Like when I tell y'all, Jesus in my obedience delivered miracles that delivered me from that situation. And that's a very hard situation to get out of on your own. And in this economy, in this climate we live in right now, it's hard to even get yourself out of that situation. And Jesus Christ did it for me in my obedience to him. I felt so convicted that I was allowing the enemy to make me feel embarrassed of something that Jesus cleaned up. And someone else needs to hear this today. That thing that, you know, Jesus found you and he cleaned you up. He didn't clean you up so you could pretend like you were never dirty. You're cleaned up now, and you can share that testimony with other people who feel like it's impossible for them to be clean, who feel like it's impossible for them to be washed of their sins. And you're able to say, Jesus did it for me and he can do it for you. And I want to get back to the root of this message, y'all, that you have to love Jesus more. Because the next fear that comes up a lot, especially for people who, if your friends or your family aren't Christian, is what if I lose my friends? What if I lose my family by giving my life to Jesus? What if they don't want anything to do with me? What if they mock me? What if they reject me? Guess what, y'all? That happened to me. that happened to me. There were some people that I loved dearly that me obeying God has put a real wedge between me and them. But they live a life that is, at the moment, serving the flesh, that they don't understand obedience to God. And that my obedience to God is frustrating for them, and it doesn't make sense to them, and it angers them, and it annoys them, and it convicts them. It makes them feel every type of way. Where it's hard to have long conversations with them. Where I can't be close with them anymore, because every time I'm close, there's death and there's anger. And I have felt God, I have prayed so heavily to God. Months of prayers of God, change the situation, change their heart, change. And as much as I wanted God to change their heart, the answer God gave me was, you have to pray for them and love them with boundaries. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. And you have to have boundaries with these people. Still pray for them, still love them. But Jesus came to create division. Houses of five were going to be divided, two against three and three against two, and this was my house divided. And that was the hardest thing for me to experience. The rejection I felt at times when I was trying to spread the gospel, and I was outright rejected. I was outright laughed at. I was outright mocked. God was mocked. You know, because in that moment, they weren't rejecting me. They were rejecting God. And then there were other people that when I gave my life to Jesus, I was ready to reconnect with people. There were some people that, you know, I've been friends with when I was really worldly, and when I went through my little isolation period, I hadn't really been talking to anybody. When I gave my life to Jesus, I wanted to reconnect every bridge. I wanted to open every door that had been closed, feeling like I wanted to make everything right with everybody, and I wanted to spread sunshines and rainbows. And one thing that was really hard for me is when some of the doors, when I tried opening, I felt so convicted. And I felt God speak to me like, these are doors that aren't meant to be opened up again. And there were a couple times when, honestly, I didn't really listen. And when I opened up those doors, I got rejected real quick. The second Jesus was involved, they didn't want anything to do with me. I wasn't the same Danielle. I wasn't the fun one to them anymore. I was mocked. When I gave my life to Jesus, I was mocked by the New Age community, y'all. I don't know if you know this, but in New Age, there's a running thing where they claim, like, people who give their life to Jesus are just weak. They claim that, you know, in New Age, you have to be strong and be able to take all the spiritual warfare, and the people who turn to Jesus are people who couldn't do it on their own. Well, I know from reading the gospel that I was never meant to do it alone, that giving everything to Jesus is actually what I'm supposed to do. But in the New Age community, people who leave and go to Jesus are mocked. They're seen as weak. They're seen as the spiritual psychosis. Giving my life to Jesus came with mocking from literally every single side. There were people who were looking at me like, weren't you just like a couple months ago a New Ager saying the opposite thing, and now you're talking about Jesus? I had false accusations flying. I had some people who were calling me a liar and a hypocrite. I had people to this day who don't want to believe I gave my life to Jesus, who believe I'm like some witch, honestly, is what I've been called. And I have to take that to Jesus. And part of me is like, you know what, Jesus, you warned me about this. And there was a period when I gave my life to Jesus where it was about 3 or 4 months that I was completely silent on social media. If you weren't like in my very, very close family, you didn't know I gave my life to Jesus. You didn't know I left New Age. You didn't know any of that. You had no clue what happened to me. And I honestly didn't want to start a podcast. I didn't want to get back on social media. I was enjoying having no eyes on me and no one knowing what was going on in my life. I was just trying to rebuild. But it was because I loved God so much and I had such a desire to obey him that when he started convicting me and I started feeling it so heavy of like, it's time to share the testimony. It's time to start speaking the name of Jesus. It's time to loudly start pointing people to the cross. Jesus didn't do this for me to just, he didn't clean me up and restore my life for me to just sit here and enjoy it. He did it for me to create disciples. He did it for me to lead other people to the cross, to point other people to the cross. I want to say it better that way, point people. He's not expecting me to lead people because it's not my responsibility to like do all the work. I plant seeds and I trust in God to do the work. But I'm telling y'all today that you have to love Jesus more. And there's someone today asking, well, where's the scripture for that? This is the scripture that I remember reading that helped me make a little bit of peace with this, which was Matthew 10, starting in verse, we'll go ahead and start in verse 32. Therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Don't assume that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. The one who loves a father or a mother more than me is not worthy of me. The one who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone who finds his life will lose it. And anyone who loses his life because of me will find it. And y'all, I remember when I was giving my life to Jesus, I had to leave just about everything behind. Because just about everything in my life I was embracing at that point was sinful. I was a tarot card reader in New Age. That was my financial income. And I knew I had to leave that behind. So I was like, okay, so my source of money is about to be gone, God. Like, this is my financial, this is how I eat, this is how I pay my bills. So if I deny myself, this is gone. I don't have an answer for this. My only way of dealing with my anxiety and my stress and my depression was smoking. And I felt the Lord convict me of, you can't use, that's an idol, you can't use that anymore. I'm calling you to a sober lifestyle. Like, when I tell y'all that, like, in following Christ, like some things that were very big pillars of my life, I was like, I'm gonna have to let these go. Giving my life to Christ literally felt like dying to my life in that moment. And I had to trust that all these things that he was calling me to let go, he was going to provide for in a way. I used smoking to bring me peace. Jesus Christ gave me a peace that surpassed all understanding. Glory be to God. I gave up that job and I trusted in God's timing. He would guide me and he would financially provide. He did that. He delivered me. He turned these things into testimonies. I can't tell y'all the nights of just crying and weeping I had, because when I left all those things behind, I didn't know what I was walking towards. I remember describing it as if like I'm going down a long dark hallway, like God is calling me to leave these rooms I'm in and close the door, and I do that, and now I'm walking down this hallway following his voice, and I'm just trusting that there's another door that's going to open up from him. And it feels like a dark hallway because I can't see more than a couple feet in front of me. Like, I'm literally being led by his voice, by his guidance. I don't know what exactly it is waiting on me, but I have to trust that it's better than what I'm leaving behind. And when you're going down that hallway, it's important that you keep walking forward. There's a temptation because you don't see anything yet, or because the hallway feels long, because you're not at that door yet, to turn around and run back and open up that door. And I had so many of those temptations to turn around and open up that door and go back. But I just knew, and I had the strength from God. It wasn't my own strength. This was a supernatural strength given to me from God, to keep trusting in Him and to keep going forward. And that's a testimony that I use to share with other people, with people who are living that lukewarm lifestyle, and that God is calling them to give that thing up. I've shared this in previous episodes, and I want to be thoughtful with the way I word this, but there is a real conviction God gave me at one point where He was like, how can you expect me to bless the disobedience? Like, you're mad at me that I'm not delivering on all of these promises or all these things. Because when I was in New Age, y'all, it was weird. Like, there were certain things that I believed were going to happen in my life. There were things that I believed to be promises from God that I was believing for before I stepped into New Age. And I actually believed that New Age was going to help me with. And I remember when I was coming out on the other side of that, getting ready to leave New Age, just kind of stepped out of it and was walking into like giving my life to Christ. It was like right when I was in that in between. And I remember writing down in my journal where I felt the Lord speak to me so heavily, your testimony is not that I bless disobedience, because that's not going to be what you share with other people that points them to me. Like, your testimony isn't going to be, yeah, I was in New Age and I was like a drunkard or a stoner. I was doing all these things and God said, you know what? Good enough. Here's all the promises. Run wild. God showed me, He's like, no, your testimony is actually going to be, I felt convicted when I realized that these things go against God's word. I left them. It wasn't that I was leaving them and going to something else. I had to leave them and trust that God was going to bring me something else. I endured testing. I endured temptation to go back. And when I didn't give in to that, in God's timing, He delivered. That was my testimony. He revealed to me, He's like, I know it was painful and hurtful that you were spending so long waiting on the promise. But like, if I would have blessed you while you were in that disobedience, you wouldn't have left that disobedience. You would have assumed I'm okay with it. Like, I remember writing that down in my journal because that was who I was. If God would have given me everything that I thought He was promising while I was in those things, I would have been like, well, clearly He's okay with me doing this. God knew me, and He knew that I needed to leave those things. For Him to create the testimony. Now, the interesting thing, like how I say, we don't clean ourselves up, and Jesus doesn't expect us to be cleaned up before you come to Him. I wasn't cleaned up. I hadn't left New Age before I started reading my Bible. I was in New Age when I was reading my Bible. I was in New Age when I started praying. Jesus wasn't like, I'm not going to talk to you until you leave everything behind. The Lord started convicting me and working on my heart, which led me to leave these things behind. And I wasn't cleaned of the guilt and the weight I was carrying until Jesus stepped in. Because once I felt convicted and realized that what I was doing in New Age was wrong, I felt so guilty and so shameful. And it was a heavy weight where I didn't know how I was going to live with myself. And it was when I repented and asked the Lord for forgiveness, I felt that weight lifted off of me. And when I knew that He was cleaning me up. And the only reason why I am confident enough to share these things on the podcast today is because I love Jesus more than I love people. Which sounds weird, right? Because I used to have such a, I love people and I want people to feel good, that I would withhold things like this in case it would make someone feel convicted or make someone angry or upset or hurt or make someone feel some type of way. And the Lord revealed to me that that's not the Christ-like love, because Christ-like love is truth and honesty, and it points people closer to the cross. What I was doing was I was keeping people comfortable. And I love God so much that my love for God surpasses my desire for people to be comfortable. And actually, I love God so much that now I love people enough too to share this with them. It's weird how that works. I remember saying to someone not too long ago on the phone, there's a family member that I felt God like having me plant seeds with, and this person isn't very happy. In all honesty, they feel conviction, they don't enjoy it. And I remember talking to this person. You know, there's someone who's been walking with Christ for a long time and was giving me some good advice. And I remember saying to them, it's like, I hate that this person is angry at me. I hate that this person feels resentment. I hate, you know, that this person is feeling all these types of ways, and I love them, but I love God more. And I know God has called me to say this and speak this and do this. Like, if I didn't love God, I wouldn't be saying and speaking and doing these things, because I know this person doesn't enjoy it. They don't enjoy the conviction that comes with me speaking God's word. For the longest time, y'all, I would get that script. One, it's crazy the things that get ingrained in you when you're little in Sunday school. And I remember the commandment that got so ingrained in me is honor your mother and father. And that was always a really, really hard one for me, because I never felt like I was, you know, I was never actually taught the depth of that scripture. It actually goes on to say, like, you know, don't provoke your children to anger and things like that. Like, but when you're a child, at least in my instance, I was only taught the honor your mother and father, which was submit and obey to anything. Don't disrespect, don't talk back, don't any of that. And for me personally, being raised in a household that didn't follow the scriptures exactly, that was hard for me, right? Because I'm like, how am I going to keep God's word when no one else around me is keeping God's word? It's kind of hard to honor things that are unchristlike. Like, it was a really hard thing in my brain, you know? So when, of course, I got older and actually gave my life to Jesus, that one was really hard for me. Because I was like, God, I want to honor these people, but these people aren't honoring you. And someone needs to hear this today. That, like, when you are an adult, when you are an adult, when you are now making your own decisions for your life, okay? Because I know it's one thing when you are a minor and, like, you are legally under your parents' guidance, but when you are an adult making your own decisions, I'm telling you right now, and this should be the way you live your life even when you're before you're an adult, is that you should always love God first. But once you're an adult, like, what God says goes. I can't tell y'all how many times that God has told me to do something that my family didn't exactly agree with, but I had to trust God. And someone needs to hear this today. That as an adult, like, it's God first. It should always be God first. I know it's harder with that when you're a child, because you should submit to your parents' authority. You should. But when you're an adult, you are submitted to God's authority. God is your heavenly father. God is your father. And you have to submit to that. It is biblical that you love Jesus first, that you love God first. And if you're looking for a way, if fear has been at your doorstep and you're looking for a way to, like, how do I overcome this fear of people pleasing? How do I overcome this fear of rejection? How do I overcome this fear of ridicule and persecution? Well, we know to put on the armor of God. We know that, right? To be prayed up, to have up that shield of faith. Because I want to be so blunt that this fear is a form of spiritual warfare to stop you from stepping into it. But to be rooted in your faith and rooted in your love for God. And for me, that love for Jesus came through knowing him. and experiencing him and having a relationship with him, which came through reading the scriptures and praying to him daily, for relying on him, for in the trials and tribulations, leaning on him and turning to him and seeing what he can do and being mind blown by what he does. It's crazy how much the love of God will overpower the fear, and how the love of God, loving God more than yourself, loving God more than your fleshly desires, loving.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Loving God more than all of these things. It's crazy how that love of God will keep you in step with him. You know, I said earlier in the podcast, we have to love God more than we love our parents. We have to love God more than we love our family. We have to love God more than we love our spouses. And I know as someone who I'm not married, you know, I try not to speak too much on marriages because I don't have as much insight as someone who is married, okay? But we know wives are supposed to be submitted to the husbands. Husbands are supposed to be submitted to God, right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved his church. You can't properly love your spouse or submit when you're not first submitted to Christ and don't know the love of Christ. How can you share the love of Christ with people if you don't know the love of Christ yourself? Husbands, how can you properly guide your wife if you are not submitted to God's guidance? If you don't know the love of Jesus, how can you love her the way Christ loved his church? And that comes through a consistent relationship and submission to Jesus. Wives, how can you know how to submit to a husband if you don't know how to submit to Christ? And how are you able to discern the love of Jesus if you haven't experienced the love of Jesus? Because I don't want to get too deep in on this, but something I have seen a lot, you know, there's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of people who don't want to submit. Women who are like, that's too risky to submit to a husband. And I think that comes from us seeing what happens when we submit to people who aren't submitted to Christ, right? Because we do think of the people who take advantage and mistreat and misuse, and there are stories of that. And that's why women, we have to know the love of Jesus. We have to know what God calls us to do and what he wouldn't call us to do. We need to know the word of God. We need to be locked in taking things to the Lord and have that discernment strengthened. You know, that way we can look at the fruits. We can test the spirit behind the words. We can see, is this man actually, like, is he really showing the love of Jesus? Is this the love of Jesus? Or are these just, like, our feelings? Is the things he talks about submission-wise, are these things that are in God's word, or are these things twisted? When you work on pursuing your relationship with Christ, in receiving the love of Christ, there's a love that's going to develop. And that's the root, the basis of this episode, y'all, is you have to love God more. There have been times when God has called me to speak a word, when God has called me to share a testimony, when God has called me to do a thing where I'm like, God, if I do that, like, there are some real things I could lose in life. Like, there are some things that, like, if people felt some type of way about this, like, there's some damage that could be done. And I had to trust that God has already prepared for whatever reaction is going to happen. If y'all go a couple episodes back, I believe it is the opposition episode where I'm breaking down how to deal with opposition. This fear is a form of opposition. One thing God had drilled in me so many times lovingly was whatever the outcome of you obeying me is, I have already planned for that outcome. If it's a loss, trust I have already planned for that, and you will be restored with better. If you're blessed because of it, trust I have planned for that as well. Trust that I have already planned for every possible outcome. Like, that is why I felt God so heavily. I already know what's going to happen, and I'm still calling you to do this, so trust me. And I pray that this helps you today. I pray that this helps you. And there's just a little bit of scripture I'm feeling led to read to y'all. And it's the beginning of the book of Jeremiah. And it says here in chapter 1, verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me. This is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah when he's calling Jeremiah to be a prophet, to speak to a group of people who have been rejecting God's prophets, who have been leaning into their idolatry. And he's telling Jeremiah, I want you to go speak to them. Which must have been really intimidating, right? And this is what God says. The word of the Lord came to me. I chose you. Before I formed you in the womb, I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I want to pause here. This is God saying, before you were even like conceived, I already had this plan for your life. I already decided I was going to anoint you and appoint you to be a prophet. This isn't just a luck of the draw. This isn't just a whim. I have planned this long before you were conscious. You were set apart for this. And it goes on to say here, Jeremiah says, but I protested, oh no, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak since I am only a youth. Then the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to rescue you. This is the Lord's declaration. I want to pause here for a moment. How many times do we say that? How many times do we say, but God, I don't know enough. But God, I'm a new Christian. But God, I don't know this. But God, I'm to this. I'm to that. Think back to Moses. When God was telling Moses, I'm going to be using you to deliver my people from the hand of Pharaoh. Moses was saying, but I can't speak. I'm not a speaker. He was finding every reason to say, God, not me. You can't use me. This is God right here saying, and I remember, y'all, when I didn't want to start this podcast. Fun fact, God had been putting it on my heart. I remember it was like March. I didn't start this until August. I remember in March already feeling like, I feel like this is what God's calling me to. And I remember saying it out loud in May and in June and saying, but I don't have the equipment and I don't know how to do that. I'm not a techie person. I remember saying, I don't know enough. I'm not qualified. I remember finding every reason. And then finally in August, the Lord convicted me so hard where it's like, I have to do it. This podcast was started out of obedience, let me tell y'all. And I remember the Lord giving me the scripture of, do not say you're underqualified. Do not say you're too young. Don't say any of these things. I want to repeat this right here, where God says, for you will go to everyone I send you, saying you are going to obey. And you will speak whatever I tell you to speak. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to rescue you. God's promise right there, wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. If you're obeying me, trust and believe. I got you. And then verse 9 goes on to say, then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, I have now filled your mouth with my words. See, I have appointed you today over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and plant. Y'all, I remember when I was starting this podcast and something I took to God. I was like, God, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't know what I'm going to say. What do I even say this podcast is about? Is this just going to be me sharing testimonies? Is this going to be me reading the Bible? Like, what do I do here? And I remember God saying, like, I remember reading this and I felt the Lord speak to me. I felt the Holy Spirit stir within me. And I just had a knowing that God will give me the words. God will give me the topics. And honestly, y'all, I don't know. There has yet to be a day where I have had like a podcast episode long ahead thought out. I'll sit down in the morning and start reading scripture, start praying. And, you know, if God gives me a topic and scripture and leads me to it, we have an episode. And if I don't feel like there's anything he's speaking to me to relay, I wait on him. Like I said, this podcast was created out of obedience. I don't want this to be something where I'm speaking my own heart or my own agenda or my own whatever. I want to be strictly speaking about what God calls me to speak about. And like that opposition episode, that was one where I sat down in the morning and I was praying to God. And literally, y'all, I ended up making a list of this is one thing, this is another thing, this is how to overcome opposition. I felt like God was literally, like, I wrote down like a bullet point list. Most of the time that doesn't happen. Most of the time I might have a couple pieces of scripture, but I'm just here on the podcast episode, y'all, speaking what the Lord has been speaking to me and relaying it in the best way I can and sharing testimonies. And that has solely been what this podcast is like trusting God will give me the words because I don't have them. I'm not as wise as God makes me sound, as the Holy Spirit in me makes me sound. To be real, there have been times when I say something, I look back and I'm like, yeah, that was definitely not me. And someone needs to hear this today. If you have a fear that you don't have the words or you're not smart enough, trust that God will be with you. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. He will give you the words. Pray to him that he gives you the words. Pray to him that you're able to discern. And the best way to know his voice is to spend time with him. Now, y'all, I pray this episode has blessed you and helps you, encourages you. And whatever area you need encouragement in, if this is more encouragement to work on your relationship with Christ, I pray it encourages that. If this is encouraging you to share your testimony, to go evangelize, I pray this happens. If you have been dealing with opposition for stepping into your faith, I pray that this gives you the encouragement. I know that God is going to use this in a lot of different ways with a lot of different people. And I do want to encourage you, if you haven't read the book of Jeremiah, y'all, read the book of Jeremiah. I know it's a long book. It's like 50 chapters. It took me a while to get through. I remember sitting down and reading it at the beginning of the summer, and it was a transformational read for me, but it wasn't an easy read. I'll be so real with y'all, some of it feels repetitive. About the first 40 chapters are Jeremiah warning. But you know, the beauty with that is it shows how many times God is willing to warn, how many times he tries to pull out our hearts. So I encourage whoever you are listening to today to do a deep dive into the book of Jeremiah. It's a wonderful read. And I pray that this episode blesses you and that you get your strength, your boldness, and your courage from the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful night. God bless.